Whole Story Audio presents an unabridged recording of How to Do Nothing by Jenny Odell, narrated by Rebecca Gibble.
Chapter 1. The Case for Nothing. Wakes up and looks at phone. Ah, let's see what fresh horrors await me on the Fresh Horrors device. At Misochistic in a tweet on November 10, 2016. In early 2017, not long after Trump's inauguration, I was asked to give a keynote talk at EYEO, an art and technology conference in Minneapolis. I was still reeling from the election, and like many other artists I knew, found it difficult to continue making anything at all. On top of that, Oakland was in a state of mourning, following the 2016 Ghost Ship Fire, which took the lives of many artists and community-minded people. Staring at the blank field in which I was supposed to enter my talk title, I thought about what I could possibly say that would be meaningful in a moment like this. Without yet knowing what the talk would actually be, I just typed in, "How to Do Nothing." After that, I decided to ground the talk in a specific place, the Morcom Amphitheater of Roses in Oakland, California, otherwise known simply as the Rose Garden. I did that partly because it was in the Rose Garden that I began brainstorming my talk, but I had also realized that the garden encompassed everything I wanted to cover: the practice of doing nothing, the architecture of nothing, the importance of public space, and an ethics of care and maintenance. I live 5 minutes away from the Rose Garden, and ever since I've lived in Oakland, it's been my default place to go to get away from my computer, where I do much of my work, art, and otherwise. But after the election, I started going to the Rose Garden almost every day. This wasn't exactly a conscious decision. It was more of an innate movement, like a deer going to a salt lick or a goat going to the top of a hill. What I would do there is nothing. I'd just sit there. And although I felt a bit guilty about how incongruous it seemed, beautiful garden versus terrifying world, it really did feel like a necessary survival tactic. I recognized the feeling in a passage from Gilles Deleuze in Negotiations. "We're riddled with pointless talk, insane quantities of words and images. Stupidity's never blind or mute. So it's not a problem of getting people to express themselves, but of providing little gaps of solitude and silence in which they might eventually find something to say. Repressive forces don't stop people from expressing themselves, but rather force them to express themselves. What a relief to have nothing to say. The right to say nothing. Because only then is there a chance of framing the rare and even rarer thing that might be worth saying." He wrote that in 1985, but I could identify with the sentiment in 2016, almost to a painful degree. The function of nothing here, of saying nothing, is that it's a precursor to having something to say. Nothing is neither a luxury nor a waste of time, but rather a necessary part of meaningful thought and speech. Of course, as a visual artist, I've long had an appreciation of doing nothing, or more properly, making nothing. I had been known to do things like collect hundreds of screenshots of farms or chemical waste ponds from Google Earth, cutting them out and arranging them in mandala-like compositions. In The Bureau of Suspended Objects, a project I did while in residence at Recology SF, I spent 3 months photographing, cataloging, and researching the origin of 200 discarded objects. I presented them as a browsable archive in which people could scan a handmade tag next to each object and learn about its manufacturing, material, and corporate history. At the opening, a confused and somewhat indignant woman turned to me and said, "Wait, so did you actually make anything, or did you just put things on shelves?" I often say that my medium is context, so the answer was yes to both. Part of the reason I work this way is because I find existing things infinitely more interesting than anything I could possibly make. The Bureau of Suspended Objects was really just an excuse for me to stare at the amazing things in the dump, an intense